Previously on Supergirl Gab.
I mean, December is a trying time, so yeah. I get it.
There could have been even more punching for my taste.
There are actually a couple things that bother me, and we might as well get into this now, and then we'll go into actual plot stuff.
Riding this, like, multi-night roller coaster.
Like, time travel is just kind of willy-nilly.
And now... it's plenty crazy, but it's just like...
Okay, we're getting...
Sorry, yeah.
So Russell Tovoy is there, and he gets pulled in because evil Lance Dad, who I only know
Quentin
from, like,
Lance,
one of the other... Yeah,
who is the best part of his... is oftentimes the best part of Arrow, because he seems like the only real actor on the show.
They also, so his thing is coming in and being like, seeing the version of his daughter and being like, ah, Aryan beauty, what are you doing here? And she's like, yeah, I'm not straight. and I actually really like the way that Katie Lotz performed this, because it's like defiant, but still fairly terrified. There was a really nice, like, there was a really nice take from her. But then her evil Nazi dad says, like, I had a daughter that looked like you, but I also, like, I destroyed her. Like, I destroyed her rather than her being who she is. Which makes it sound like all, no matter what Earth you're on, Sarah Lance is not straight.
Yeah.
Which leads me to Leo Snart. I don't know how much you got to see Captain Cold in these various shows. He is the most delightful character this universe, like, this continuity...
this version of him?
...has... No, I mean, like, Captain Cold throughout, like...
Oh, you mean just in the Arrowverse?
Yeah, in the Arrowverse.
What's his name, Wentworth Miller?
Yeah, is one of the best parts of it, and he has been missing for so long, and I've missed him so much.
I knew that everyone was, not even watching these shows, I knew he had been gone for a while from them, and, like, I could... It's like, somehow, even though I was watching the show by myself, it was like, when he showed back up, it felt
I could
feel the excitement of other, like, nerds for this show from across the world. I could just feel people's spirits rising when he showed up. And I was like, oh, everyone's excited right now. I can tell.
Yeah, everything's okay now. Leonard's back.
I don't know if it was okay, but I was like, definitely felt like everyone's happy about this. Yeah,
Wentworth Miller was such a joy on The Flash. It was such a surprise, because, like, you don't expect Captain Cold to have, like, much of a presence. And the way he pulled it off
was so
good.
Well, he's such a fascinating character in the comics. Like, what Geoff Johns did with him, you know, on his big Flash run was just, like, nothing short of amazing. To take this character who's, like, who I don't, in my recollection, did not have a ton of depth. You know, I mean, we knew stuff about him, but he was not like a super, he was not like a character that people were captivated by. And then, like, Geoff Johns did an incredible job with the Rogues. And I feel like it's sort of like all of his Flash stuff really got sort of overshadowed by his Green Lantern stuff, because, you know, that's feels very much like what he's known for at DC.
Yeah.
But, like, he really took the Flash and just did an amazing job coming in. But with Wally, you know, it was like with Wally as the Flash turning the Rogues all into this, like, really interesting, you know, super interesting group of villains where you're like, ooh, I know they're bad guys, but I am, like, I feel so invested in their characters now. And some of them are so tragic, and some of them are this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, if it weren't for that, I don't think that they would be the characters that they are. Like, you know, him and what's his name? The other guy from Prison Break. What's his name on with the fire?
Oh, I know it too.
I can't think of what his name is.
Here's the worst thing. This show has gone to the point where they just call him Mick. Because it's Mick Rory. That's the character's name. But they don't actually say what his...
It's Heatwave, I think.
It's Heatwave, yeah. This is a problem when you have Firestorm and Heatwave on a series together. You cannot keep... Like, it's too hard. Yeah, I will say... So, I have not read that comic run. So, I don't know how to compare it to Wentworth Miller's
to the show,
larger,
yeah.
Yeah. But I think there was a lot of depth. He ended up being... I wouldn't even call him like an anti-hero. By the time he was on Legends, it was fairly, even though their whole gimmick is at the beginning of every episode, they say, but please don't call us heroes. We're legends. Again, it's that kind of show. I know it's so cheesy, but
that's fun too.
Cheesy.
I mean, also it's like, if you put that, compare and contrast that to like the overly serious broodiness of Arrow.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they, I will take that also, cheesiness all day long.
All of the different characters take turns introducing the show.
Fun.
It's always, yeah, so like Stein doing it sounds very apologetic, but please do not call us. Whereas the other ones sound more badass. It is very entertaining depending on which one you get. Yeah. But his character, I think, again, I've kind of dropped in and out of Legends of Tomorrow, but I think he either got like semi erased from existence, but he definitely like more or less that character had died, and he's only shown up in like, I think he was in a dream sequence at one point, or like a kind of vision, which I think that they reference in the fourth episode of the crossover, and I think Barry has seen him in the past at some point before like they really met. But yeah, so the character is just great. It's so good. His relationship with Barry was really fascinating because it was very much I'm still going to screw you over, but also like, I don't hate you. I don't want you to die.
It's not personal.
There was a Christmas episode, I think 2 or 3 years ago, that had the Trickster in it, where the Trickster really wanted to kill the Flash. And Leonard was like, maybe we don't do that. I'm not really up for that. We kind of have this kind of banter thing going on, and I don't really want to do that. And he ends up helping Barry out. And so we have Wentworth Miller in this version of Captain Cold that is Citizen Cold. And his name is Leo in it, and he's way more peppy and slightly more energetic, but he still has the same inflection. And he's delightful. And also, he is definitely not straight, because he and the Ray are in a committed, passionate relationship. And it was amazing. Like, between one, the fact that, again, because they have implied that that Sarah Lance is by no matter what universe she's in. the transitive property tells me that then every Leonard Snart in every universe in the Arrowverse is also not straight.
What
that
do you make
my,
of when they do that thing?
Story.
What do you, I appreciate where you're
yes,
going with that.
Science. I know what math is, and this is the math of this universe.
What do you make of when they do these things where the version from a different Earth is it's like exactly the same, except they're flipped. They're sort of like alignment on the
it's like askewed.
Is askew or is flipped, but they've got like their name is just a little different. Like in Earth 2, in like that JLA Earth 2 graphic novel, there was that thing where, and then they ended up using this in DC proper, but there was the thing where like the good Lex Luthor on Earth 2, his name was like Alexander Luthor. Or like with like this one, it's a difference between Leonard and Leo. And it makes you kind of go like, I don't know, for some reason to me that makes it, there's something about that that sticks out of my mind where it makes me question what it all means. And maybe this is like too weird or sort of like too vague a topic
it
to try to get into.
It doesn't bother me a ton. I think it was mostly, in this case, it was mostly a joke because he seems a little bit looser and he's a little more,
that's like a more fun
sunshiny
name.
Yeah. And it's also a nice way to differentiate between between the characters in an easy way. I mean, that's why for Harrison Wells, they call the particular Harrison that we saw on Earth One right now Harry, but then the quirky one from last year was HG, because uh-huh. his initials are HG Wells.
HG Wells, yeah.
I hope you, which should have been a clue.
Yeah.
I was so mad when I found that out when I figured it out in season one. I was so angry. but it doesn't bother me as much, only because, like,
I don't even know if it bothers me. You know, I'm just, it's like
but
one it's of those things.
It's just like
that,
you thought about it.
Yeah, it's like any time where you do that, well, if you've got the other characters where it's like, oh, they're exactly the same. Same name, same everything. But then you have people where they're like, oh, we want to really tweak this one. Or maybe it doesn't even seem like they tweaked them, but it's just, oh, their name's a little different. And I don't know. That question may have been, there may be nowhere to go with that question other than it's just something for me that I can't help but think about. But I just, I thought it might have been one of those things where you're like, oh, well, actually, I think this. And if that had been possible, I wanted to make sure I explored that avenue to give you a chance to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just have nothing. That's fine.
Let's pretend it didn't happen.
So I will say that it was really nice to have not only this couple be set up, that are like very much in love and they're fighting against fascism and getting to see like a healthier version of Captain Cold in like just like this loving relationship, and really feeling like quickly invested in that. And then also having, you know, in the same crossover, having Sarah and Alex and them again be very like canonically like a thing, even if it was just for like a very brief amount of time. And having their thing also be an okay expression of their representation and seeing them also fight Nazis. And it was just nice to see like multiple, we talked about this on Supergirl that part of the reason why the Alex and Maggie stuff is so frustrating is because like they're the only queer characters on a show that in the recent, you know, season or so has been like, hey, look, we have queer characters. So there's more at stake when they screw up the writing for them. And here we have two, it's really nice to see like more than two characters in one, like, you know, week of superhero shows and like this larger story and getting to see them all interact with each other. Like, I thought that was just a really smart thing.
Yeah.
And again, it felt like a really joyful way, especially because Wentworth Miller both Wentworth Miller and Russell Tovey are gay men, and the fact that they have these two actors who are gay playing queer characters is also really important. So like I was days after I watched these episodes, I was smiling about everything having to do with Leo.
Well, it's like so. It's such a cool thing, I think. I mean, I think this is just kind of mirroring what you're saying, but it's like getting to see marginalized characters fight back on this show specifically against Nazis is even more satisfying on the one hand, because it's like getting to see people who in real life, when the Nazis were coming to power, and so people who did not ever get that chance to fight back, were not able to have superpowers and fight back.
Yeah.
But then also the fact that like in the times we are living in now, where it's like, there's this weird subcurrent of awful people who like want to attack people for no reason. I mean, whatever the reasons in their mind are, they're not good reasons. It's like, they're discriminatory and it's like stuff where it's just like,
hateful.
Yeah, hateful. Exactly. It's for hateful reasons. And getting to see, it's like, it's really satisfying on both of those levels. Like, it has even more emotional resonance because of that. It's going like, oh, in this world,
these people who were marginalized in the past, we get to see, like, not in this world, you know, in this world, we're able to stand back up and fight back in a way that the real world did not allow people, sadly.
I really, one of the better Felicity moments in this whole crossover was when, again, she and Iris have a really good amount of time where they're both the only two people who can basically stall Supergirl getting her heart cut out, which we haven't even talked about. Like that whole thing, like the whole plot line, that's like a huge portion of the storyline.
But can again, another crazy science thing where they were like,
why has no one else done the red sun thing? No one else has thought of this. They always go for the kryptonite.
Well, the thing, like, that they do that thing where they're like, she's absorbed so much of this that if she dies, she's going to explode like a supernova or something. And it's like, hold on. That is not how science works.
Well, we don't know what Krypton...
Whatever. Eats donuts and goes to sleep and, yeah, she can fly, but there's like... no. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little suspicious.
It's like, that was like one thing where I was just like, come up with something better.
But I really like the fact that Iris and Felicity, two characters who often get sidelined and damseled, get to be the ones who, while they're not like the last people to save the day, they still do this crucial thing.
Yeah,
they're not just there. No, they are absolutely not. And they definitely help.
They're important to the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a part where I think where Felicity is standing between evil Oliver and Kara, maybe some other people. And she says very defiantly, my grandparents didn't survive the Holocaust so that the Nazis would take over now. And I was very moved.
That was great.
I also think, we talked a little bit about it too, but the fact that they made it very clear in Martin Stein's funeral that he was Jewish as well. Like, oh, by the way, in case you did not know, in case you could not tell by his last name, this is, like, here's another Jewish character who helped fight the Nazis.
The fact that they, you know, you can't always tell but just by someone's last name. So the fact that they
went
out of their way to, like, explicitly say, they didn't have to, and I'm glad they did.
And then we also get to see on Earth X that version of Felicity, who again, like, how is it that character actually, it, like, even just like chromosome wise, like, how is it that all these characters actually live on with the butterfly effect? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But you get to see that even in that Earth, she was trying to help people and was defiant, which I liked. So,
So there was a part we were talking about, with like the stuff with the two of them. Oh, I saw some very funny, things online with people really giving, Oliver and Felicity a hard time. So though,
are we going to talk about
this? We don't have to get right to it, right? But just speaking of that,
because
in one of those scenes where we'll get to it here pretty quick, I guess. But in one of those scenes where it's basically just Felicity and Iris doing stuff, and it's like Iris has just had her wedding, you know, whatever, and it's like, I've got to find some of the memes to put in the show notes of people made where it was like just hilarious. If it's like, you know, just had her wedding ruined. And then like Felicity immediately makes it like talking about, this is what's going on with me and Ollie. And it's it was just very funny seeing how mad people were about, like, they were just, you know, that the consensus was do not invite Felicity and Oliver to your wedding.
They are the worst. They are the worst.
They are the worst wedding guests. If, like, just, and the people had put together like all these different memes with scenes where it's just like something is going on with Barry and Ira or something, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, Oliver's there talking about what's going on with him and Felicity, and it's like, can you just pump the brakes on that for right now? We're kind of dealing with a world, you know, important bad guy thing.
I will say, bless Iris for like being very.
very understanding, and I would have already flipped my lid on her if I were in Iris's shoes.
Oh, and I'm just talking also about just, like, the Nazis attacking. Like, considering all that stuff, and she's just like, well, I knew this when I was marrying you, that this could happen. Like, this specific thing?
Iris seems chill AF, okay? She handles all of this stuff. She's had to deal with a lot of stuff, but, like, this is, like, seems even bigger, and she just deals with it with such poise and, like, just, yeah. like, I'm gonna roll with this, and we're gonna, I feel confident we're gonna work it out. She does not ever let it, like, she does not seem like she ever gets, like, too flustered or just, like, completely, like, blown away by all of it. And that is amazing.
That is amazing. So, before we get towards the end, I will say one of my favorite little moments, and this is going into some of the newer Arrow characters in terms of Mr. Terrific in particular. Mm-hmm. But so they get to the
very fun when they showed up. That was a welcome surprise. Yeah. Because I like those characters on Arrow. There was, like, the season where they all got introduced, it was like they were a nice breath of fresh air. But then seeing them show up here, I was like, oh, I didn't know if you guys were going to show up. Hooray.
Yeah. And then, like, everybody beating... First of all, it is very weird to me that after we saw two not-so-great Metallos, suddenly there's a whole different Metallo, and he's working for the Nazis. And I was like, oh, time out. What's happening, and why?
Also, the CGI on that Metallo was, like, kind of delightfully janky.
Yeah, it was, but it was a lot better than, like, my shirt conveniently opened.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But I will say that the whole fight where everybody, like, throws everything at Metallo to blow him up was pretty great. Even, like, even not looking at the special effects, but just, like, the visual of of them fighting this evil robot at the same time and all of their, like, strength together, that was really fun.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like these things that are problems in and of themselves, if you put them in the context of a thing that you're, like, really enjoying, it's easy to go, you know, that's fine. Just it's easier to give it a pass if you're like, you're trying here. You know what I mean? And it's like, and you're giving me all this, I'm catching good, you know, I'm having positive feelings about all this other stuff. It's easy to just go, like, it's fine.
Suspension of disbelief. Okay, sure. So one of the more delightful little side things that I liked was, the Ray.
A robo Supergirl character coming back, we also got the return of Red Tornado from the first season, who we have seen and heard nothing about since.
I wonder if it's like Justice League, the Justice League movie, where they're like, we're just choosing to ignore other versions of this, and this is what we're doing now.
Yeah,
because that's kind of how it feels like. Because I didn't get any sense that was supposed to be a callback to the thing we've already seen, even though it is clearly the same thing.
It's still basically that. I mean, it's tweaked, but it's pretty much that same design. I mean, as best as I could tell, unless I'm just completely misremembering, but it seemed basically like the same design. It's really cool to me that they introduced the Ray in this crossover and then are like, this is over, watch his cartoon series that's got, you know, like all these characters that you've just met.
Yeah, it's way better for them to do it like that than what they did with the Vixen cartoon, which was nothing. They dropped that.
Speaking of,
then nothing.
Vixen shows up.
Yeah. This is not the same Vixen that's in the cartoon. It's actually her like grandmother from the past.
Okay.
She was in the Justice Society and then she got picked up by the Legends. So she's kind of a past person.
It's not the Vixen then that was on Arrow previously.
No.
Okay.
It's different Vixen.
She was not on it enough to where I was like,
I was distracted during some of the parts, but I was like, wait, this is Vixen, right? Who is the other person that shows up with her?
That is, in the comics, it is Isis, since they do not want to use that phrase.
Right,
her name is just Zari.
Okay.
But it's the same power set as Isis. I had to ask someone.
I did not recognize her at all. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
I forget what
Steel is Nate Haywood, who is kind of the like
wait, not Steel. He's
That's what they call him in the on IMDb.
But his just no, so that's you not know. His name is like
I'm just telling you what IMDb is telling me.
Okay.
Nate Haywood.
But I mean, that character, though, is not called just Steel, because we have a character that is just called Steel.
Oh, I know that.
Who is John Henry Irons.
No,
it's like
you know
Commander
what?
Steel or something?
Maybe, but I know that, I'm pretty sure that L. Collins has talked about this with me when we both did the JLJLU cartoon, because I was not aware that there were multiple characters named Steel, and apparently there are.
Oh,
but
dang.
I could
okay.
be wrong.
And
yeah.
They changed his name to Commander Steel. The character was originally called Steel, I guess. And this is just me getting it wrong. Hey, it happens.
It's fine.
He was originally called Steel, but I knew him as Commander Steel for some reason. But yeah, I guess he was called Steel. And then when the other Steel, after this character had been forgotten, and then Death of Superman happens and they start calling that other guy Steel. Then they started, they changed him to Commander Steel. Any hoodles.
Anyway, so they get everybody who needs to fight.
The Atom finally shows up and shows that he also has, not only can he get small, but he can also just make his hands big. He can do weird shape shifting.
Yeah, I think that was another thing that might have been already introduced.
It was certainly off-putting Legends. This was the first time I had seen it. If they had just made him get giant all over, but having just all of a sudden a giant hand was really
They were in a hallway.
Yeah, no. But I was just like, I was not expecting that, because he says something about, you know, it's not just getting small. I thought he was going to, you know, go gigantic. But then just big cartoon hand hits the bad guys. I was like, oh, well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. So everybody gets back to the right universe to fight evil Kara and evil Oliver. And there's this delightful moment between Mr. Terrific, who's played by Echo Kellum, and then the Ray, where they're basically ribbing each other about their
code names. Yeah.
And it starts with Mr. Terrific going like, you're the Ray, but your first name is Ray.
He's like, so your superhero name is just drop your last name?
Yeah, it's just drop your last, like, and he goes, well, what's your name? Mr. Terrific? And I'm like, and that's a good superhero? Well, actually, it was after my favorite wrestler, but, you know, it's still better than you, or like, the Ray is still a stupid name, and then that's where the end. And I'm like, that is delightful. Like, I'm so happy that that little scene exists in the middle of a very like tense episode, because it was right around the time when Stein was getting worse. Oh, and we never really went back to this, but the last scene between him and Jackson, where Stein basically says, "I know me hanging on to life is killing you. Let me go, like, let me choose to go," and then basically reiterating the fact that he sees Jackson just as much as family as his wife and biological kid is so moving. And then when he goes to Dr. Stein's like family, and then they end up embracing him and telling him that they see him as family and they know that's how he felt. It's so moving. It's so good. And the fact that everybody who's known this character, not just the legends, but also specifically Barry, and I know that Caitlin has also had a good friendship with him, because like not just because her fiance was connected to Stein, but also because, like, she's a scientist, too, and they've bonded over that. Yeah. There was a really good honoring of a character that's been around for quite a few years within this universe. And I thought that was all really well done. some of which happened after the finale, which I know we've kind of skipped over because it's kind of like, it's weird because they set up this idea early on where evil Harrison Wells or evil, you know, Thawne tells evil Supergirl, your husband or your like lover is too soft. Like Oliver is going to ruin everything because he cares more about you than he does about fascism. And Kara's like, if it comes down to it, I'll do the right thing. And even if it means stopping myself, that never plays out. Like, it never really plays out. And it's such a strange thing to set up when it doesn't really...
When like, it doesn't seem to this, have... Well, because if it doesn't play no out, then payoff. It's like, what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah, what's the payoff? Yeah. So that felt... That was just a weird, like, very specific thing that I was anticipating that never happened. And then, yeah, she just kind of... They just kind of throw her up into the air and she explodes. And I forget what happens to evil Oliver, but I think he gets killed. This is a part of the... We were talking before that, you know, there were parts of the episode you don't remember. I remember little parts of the fight in terms of the team-ups and everything. And I remember that big walk, that big pointless walk that all the superheroes do as if they're Power Rangers.
Pointless, I think you mean totally awesome.
Totally, totally appropriate.
I love though that necessary. And when they're doing that, their cool, you know, the right stuff moment shot where they're all walking towards the camera, and it's like the bad guys who all have like machine guns and stuff all just kind of wait until they get close to each other to start fighting.
They're very fair.
It's like you guys for Nazis, you guys are being very fair about this. Like, start shooting them now.
Yeah, a little bit. So it was all very, like, so much of it was really fun. I will say I questioned Citizen Cold getting mad at Mick for killing someone. Because I'm like, but you're fighting Nazis, like, all the time. You can't tell me.
Yeah.
You can't tell me you haven't taken some fatality shots. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And also, like, you freeze people. That can't be good for their health.
They're most certainly going to... They're probably going to die from complications when you freeze someone solid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like when Batman, like, causes major injuries. He's like, but I didn't kill them. I'm like, but also, there are consequences to what you're doing to their bodies.
Yeah.
Those smacking people's heads on tables will definitely cause some major injuries, Bruce.
Yeah.
And also, like, before that, his interaction with Mick and Mick immediately thinking he's another, like, ghost illusion because they've definitely had to deal with some version of Leonard before. And then him, like, basically having his best friend who used to be, like, just as much of, like, just as, like, you know, again, like, negative against the world, and then having this, like, bubbly personality being like, hey, pal, how you doing? How you holding up? And the fact that apparently on his Earth, Mick died saving, like, noble...
A burning building full of police officers or something? He's which like, is weird just kept because, going like, back in,
yeah,
just kept what, going back into that burning building.
What? Which police officers exactly in this fascist Earth? But, like, just gonna...
oh, yeah.
Like, where? How's that system work?
Yeah,
I get
wait
the
a minute.
Joke.
Yeah,
I get the joke, obviously.
That's one of those it's things great. Where you have to go, like... The joke here is more important than logic. Like, it's like that thing that Hitchcock said something once about, like, you know, in screenwriting and movie making, where something along the line, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but there's something along the lines of, like, the characters don't just immediately go to the police because then there's no movie, you know?
where it's one of those things where it's like story has to trump logic sometimes.
And I know goodness that we knows, we give these shows way a good amount of leeway, but occasionally it goes a little.
Yeah, I mean, and we complain about logic stuff sometimes, but it's I think that to be fair to us and the way that we criticize these shows or the way that we're critical of them, I think that like when we get hung up on some of those logic problems, it's not logic problems that the story couldn't exist without. It's logic problems that are clearly they feel like the cause is not that the story needs them to happen. It's that this is lazy writing or this is like, come on, guys, let's finish this one up so we can go to lunch.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think.
I wanted to say one. This is just like a little tidbit in my brain that I have to get out. Was if I'm not mistaken, even though each of these episodes they treated it as like Crisis on Earth X Part 1, 2, 3, 4, the individual ones do still count as episode whatever of their respective shows. Which and apparently this is like the 50th episode of Supergirl. Which is a neat little milestone.
Yeah.
But apparently, in the episode that actually counts as the Arrow episode, John Diggle, never appears in that episode. He shows up in the finale,
in the last episode.
Which is what I assume we'll get to next. But he doesn't actually show up in the Arrow episode, which makes it, if I'm not mistaken, which makes it the first episode of Arrow ever that he does not appear in.
Huh.
Which is just an interesting thing because we've got like all these characters show, just thinking about like, we've got all these different characters showing up. And so now it's like Stephen Amell and the character of Oliver is the only character who has appeared in every episode now. But up until this one, Ollie and Dig had both been in every episode.
Yeah. Huh.
Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, but that is...
I was going to say, don't ask me. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that, if I'm not mistaken, that's a little tidbit of true trivial information about this. So let's... Obviously, the good guys succeed and save the day. But Barry and Iris never did actually get to finish getting married.
Yeah, let's talk about this because we've been hinting at it. So everybody, almost everybody leaves except for Kara hugs and like zaps back to her universe, and the time travelers go off to like to go wherever the heck
wherever
they go.
It is.
And,
time travelers.
And by the way, while Ray is going back to his universe for a while, Leo has decided to stick around with Legends of Tomorrow thing because the shows like me enough to like let me have this little bit of joy into the new year. I'm very excited for I don't think he's sticking around for too long, but the fact that they're gonna have Leonard back with the Legends of Tomorrow in some form and having Wentworth Miller on that show again makes me very happy.
Well, they had to do something to balance out how bummed out everybody was gonna be that both halves of Firestorm are gone now.
I think Jefferson is still around with them.
Jackson.
And there's his first name's Jefferson.
His name is Jefferson Jackson?
It is absolutely Jefferson Jackson. There's a reason why they... you asked why they called him Jax. This is why.
Okay. Fair enough. I think I just heard something that I thought I heard that he was also leaving.
Maybe he is. I wasn't sure.
Not like that was his last episode, but I feel like I read somewhere that you know, like the next episode of Legends he leaves.
Oh, maybe he is. I don't know for sure. I thought that there was a chance that they were going to have him like find someone else that had the Firestorm whatever. Something something science.
Yeah.
Regardless, so Leo gives Ray a very sweet kiss, like goodbye for now, but I think he is going to help his would-be hero team kind of find the strength, especially Mick, who I'm sure is going to be a delightful odd couple in terms of like I'm looking forward to the delightfulness of the next few episodes of that show. And so, yeah, and then they realize, I think Oliver even says something like, you know, hopefully we'll all be able to meet up for the redo of your wedding. And I should also point out that we haven't really talked about it, but the fact that, like, Oliver and Felicity had interrupted their wedding rehearsal for Felicity to shout very loudly, "I don't want to marry you," which in itself is just like not great guest behavior there, you two. So, but
it's also, it's not the kind of thing that anyone would really just up and yell like that. Like,
it's
done for the moment, but you could have had it play out the same way between the two of them, with her saying that and devastating Ollie, without it having to be like a, you know, a sitcom-y type thing where someone's like, whoa, you know, everyone, record scratch.
I do feel like everybody in that room, though, was like unsurprised, like, oh, yeah, this happened. That makes sense.
Yeah.
For these two. So Barry and Iris decide, look, we already had like a version of the wedding for like our family. Like they, you know, we went through everything we were supposed to for it. So I'd rather just get married. I'd rather just elope because it's like, I just want to be married. So they basically steal Diggle from the Arrow set,
which was wonderful the way that that played out.
Yeah, like, he rolled with it pretty well considering. And Barry's like, "Well, you already are ordained. Will you marry us?" And he's like, "Okay,
yeah,
I mean, not the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm glad I'm in this crossover." And then Barry and Iris have these really moving, lovely vows. That, I mean, regardless of what you think about the writing of the couple in general, I do think that they're a good pairing, and I'm glad that they're kind of the show is solidifying. Yes, these are more or less kind of, this is the status quo for us. Like, this is who we want to focus on. I know that Iris gets so much crap from like certain parts of fandom. And I know that part of it is because she's like a black female character that is seen as like the romantic lead for a show like this. And whereas people, whether or not people say it specifically that that's like the reason, like, you know, that that's part of the reason why, like, they quote unquote just don't like her, you know?
Yeah.
I also like, I don't view this as much, but I know enough comic and like TV show critics who have dove deep into some of the fandom stuff, and some of the stuff they found is just like, guys, this is just,
oh yeah,
no, the, you ugh. Know, so
I don't even,
so,
I don't even want to think. I can imagine. Yeah,
it's pretty bad. Like the hoops they jump to explain why that they just don't like the character and how it's the character and not the writing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But anyway, but I thought that this, like, the scene was really moving and it was super sweet and it was
very, very sweet.
It was, and it was super appropriate for these characters. And then,
oh,
then, right
here
as
come these
right,
two.
Diggle is about to pronounce them man and wife, and then suddenly Felicity stops everything. She can't wait 10 GD seconds to just let them finish.
Let them have their
moment.
Gosh, like, darn moment.
Less than a minute more.
Yeah.
No.
Ugh.
So they...
Well, and you know, there were people that were really mad about this. People who are big Barry and Iris Flash fans.
Absolutely.
Who were like, he never got to finish saying it. So it's like, are they not actually married now? Like,
yeah.
Of course it turns out that it's fine. But until that next episode where we know for sure, people were hot about that. That was like,
yeah.
I cannot believe.
So, and then, I mean, I'm bitterly laughing at this point. I am laughing at my screen because the faces that Barry, Diggle, and Iris are making, I had I ended up pausing them multiple times to take pictures and tweet them out. I will have to see. I should have done this before I was thinking about it. And we'll talk about this for a minute or so anyway. I will see if I can find it. But I had taken like really specific pictures of them looking baffled and annoyed. Diggle does not look surprised and more disappointed.
He's like, used to more dealing like, oh, with these two.
This is what we're doing right now. This is what's happening, huh? And then Barry just looks confused, and Iris looks severely like baffled, but also annoyed that all this is happening. It's pretty amazing. And I'm just laughing because, like, as Felicity is explaining why she had to do this.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to ruin your wedding.
I have to ruin your makeup wedding. And I said, oh my, so these are my tweets about this. Oh my God, the look on each person's face in this moment when Felicity pulls some major crap. and then the next scene, oh, this is the thing that I imagined in my head. Quoting Barry's phone call to Kara in an hour, you will not believe what Oliver and Felicity pulled right after you left.
Oh, man.
Like, just imagine that phone call. Like, Kara, you will not believe
what happened. He can't wait to like start texting her about that. Because, oh my gosh, can you imagine? Like, the two of them must text so fast that, like, their phones can't even keep up.
Yeah, exactly. There's some major calling out among the heroes in this. So, and then Felicity and Oliver even go so far as, like, well, I don't know if we can even do vows. Like, Iris and Barry's were so good. I'm like, really? You really think that? Everything about this. And the funny thing is that I didn't watch the next episode of The Flash, but I heard that Iris is rightfully a little snippy about that whole situation. Apparently they give them a cappuccino machine that was not even like something that they needed. So they ended up like putting it in the return pile. And of course, again, like, this is what I'm talking about with the fandom and how frustrating it is that people were saying that Iris was being rude.
Oh, my Lord. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. I'm so frustrated. As someone who's not even watching that show on a regular basis anymore, I'm so frustrated for her as a character because she was, like, what happened was 100% inappropriate from Felicity and Oliver's point of view. And yet, like, her reaction as someone who is rightfully annoyed is being treated as if she's one being unreasonable. It's super... This is why, like, fandom really frustrates me sometimes. But no, I just found this hilarious because, like, poor Iris and Barry, they just got through with their, like, with their other wedding being hijacked by Nazis, and now they have to deal with this. And at this point, they're just like, you know, at least we're married. At least this is happening. Anyway, so this, I mean, I kind of knew this was coming because I knew that people were really annoyed at Felicity and Oliver for something. But it was even, like, the faces that were made and the reactions were even better than I expected. even though that whole thing was 100% unnecessary. So, that was more or less how it ended.
That's more or less how this episode ends, too, probably.
Yeah, I think it has to. Granted, I think we're right on the nose in terms of our initial
plan.
Our initial plan. I think we had said, like, maybe we can try to keep it to a regular episode length, but that didn't happen.
That's fine. We did exactly... It's basically, we have now done, like, exactly double episode length. So,
and considering,
like,
we were talking about quadruple the amount of episodes, I think we did a pretty good job. Yeah, we're really good. So I'm really glad we were able to finally talk about this episode because this crossover, because again, your mileage may vary in terms of how they use fascism as the enemy in this, and particularly Nazism. And I totally get why some people were just completely turned off on on that imagery being used. I get it. But I also think that there's something, there is something beneficial to how staunchly the characters in the shows make a point of being against it. Like that's such a core part of this whole crossover. Yeah. And I think we might have talked about this off mic a few weeks ago, but like, you know, one of us has a shirt that they sell in their store that specifically talks about how more Nazis should be punched.
Not enough Nazis have been punched yet.
Not enough Nazis. And that, by the way, that's Chris. Chris has the shirt. And
yeah,
should
it's
all,
me.
You should all order it, because I have one too. So this is very much
up
our...
surprisingly very popular online and out in the real world, where I'm getting like, I still get randomly like tagged and stuff, or pictures from people where some or like random tweets where it's like, hey, I saw somebody wearing your shirt at this thing or whatever. It's like, which is great. It's just like, it's so crazy to see that there's like, you know, that it has had a life so far beyond what I will ever know. You know, other than like if I randomly get tweets or, you know, like messages about it, like, oh, hey, I was wearing your shirt at this thing and saw someone else also wearing one, which is just wild. And it's on the one hand, you go like, it's great that people are, it speaks to people that, you know, that people are like, yes, I want to have the courage to wear something that proclaims my, which shouldn't have to be a brave choice, but apparently it is. You know, on the one hand, it's like, you know, that people are so willing to like, that it speaks to them that they're willing to go, yeah, give me that. I want to wear that and I want to make, it's hard to ignore. But it also, part of me is like, I wish that it did not need to resonate with people in 2017, you know, like. I wish that there was no reason. I wish I hadn't sold a one. I wish I hadn't had to, you know, that the world was not in a place where...
That there were no more to punch at all.
Yeah, yeah. That there was no reason for me to even have the idea for the shirt, you know?
Yeah.
But...
You know, the one thing that I kind of wish we could have seen... just because I wanted to see how he would have played it. It's a little sad we didn't get to see the alternate version Barry Allen, and I don't know why they didn't do that. Like, they had Thawne be the bad guy.
Fill the, like, evil Flash role.
Yeah. Also, sorry, and I know that we're getting back in. I know we were like, oh, the episode's pretty much over. did you notice how Barry just let him go?
Yeah, that seemed like a pretty dumb move.
Here's the thing.
It's not just kill him or let him go. You could. There's like an in between there.
I mean, arguably, like the way that they imprison people on that show, which is
problematic.
It's very problematic. You see it when the bad guys use that system to house all of the heroes to get them out of commission, and it does seem very inhumane. Especially when you see characters you like that are in there, but it's still better than like killing them. And yeah, Barry's just like, I'm just gonna let you go. Look how noble I am. And yet it is still in line with his character, because Barry makes terrible choices literally all the time. So technically it's not it's still bad writing, but yeah, I was kind of shouting at the television. But it is weird that it is weird who we get to see alternate versions of, and I don't know if it was a time thing or what, but I would have at least liked to know, like, what happened to that Barry Allen, even if it was like, oh, he was one of our comrades, and he, you know, something, something, something.
I think
like,
comrades is Russian, but...
It is. I just, that took me a second. Look, it's very late.
Yeah, it's pretty late.
That we're still like going is pretty impressive. But anyway, so that was like There were a couple of questions.
They could have, like, I mean, obviously it's amazing that they got through everything they did, but yeah, you can't help but kind of have some of those questions where you just, like,
especially when they, like, when they do the 3-on-3 kind of fight in that second episode.
It just seems
weird that instead of having an evil Barry, there's the, like, the evil Wells that we already knew about.
Bad guy that we already know. When the whole premise of the thing seems to be, maybe it's because they needed the science aspect, because he is the one that's, like, responsible for doing a lot of that bad guy science stuff.
Yeah, but Barry's also a scientist.
Not that kind. He's not on that level, though. He's like a police scientist. He's not like a...
Also, alternate universe, he could have focused more on...
Yeah.
Something.
We could do this kind of conjecture, like, until the cows come home.
Yeah, absolutely. And in your case, the cows might come home, because I know you're... I know you're near a train. I forget.
I am. Could you hear the train tonight?
No, I just, like, but I used to live, we've talked about this before, I used to live near a train, and also, like, I lived in Indiana where, like, there's a lot of farmland. So in my brain, I always just assume where there are trains.
Memphis is just a really big, I mean, from back sort of since its inception, because where it lies on the Mississippi River, and now it's on the river, and we have, like, a lot of train stuff go through here, and, like, FedEx is here. This is, like, the home of FedEx. So Memphis is, like, a really big hub for sending things places. Where I live especially is very much, what's the word? There's no farms anywhere near me.
All right. Fair enough.
Very urban environment, industrialized.
Very
citified, sort of, for the Deep South.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I thought this was a good crossover. This is a lot of fun.
And I think it was
a lot of fun.
Again, this is one of those rare things. And I feel like I'm noticing that I'm saying this more lately, which I think is a good sign. If I had had the time before we recorded, I wanted to rewatch all of it, and not just to remind me, but because I was like, that was kind of fun. So like I said earlier, some of this did make me kind of go like, oh, I kind of want to see that next episode of The Flash. I kind of want to see what happens on Legends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, which I think is with the way that these shows sometimes make us feel, I think that's really high praise. And
yeah, I do too. Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't know. I'm genuinely planning to kind of jump back into Legends just off of Wentworth Miller
coming back,
being on the show. Yeah. And also, I've heard really, really solid things about the show. I mean, before Victor Garber left, they finally did a Titanic episode where Victor Garber's character Victor Garber's character literally said, "I swear, whoever designed this thing should be shot."
Oh, goodness. That's fun.
And I'm like, they did the thing.
That's fun.
And I think for the longest time, he said they were never, ever going to do it. And then they did it. So anytime they get to... And they have done so many fun things like that. So I'm excited to kind of jump back into that show.
Right.
I think I'm good. I think we've said our piece about it. I found it very, very enjoyable.
Well... Yeah, I think that's good. So, Katie, tell everybody where to find you, all that good stuff.
Notes. Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Just Plain Tweets. God, what else? I do have a Patreon, patreon.com/justplainsomething. This is new. I do have I think it's pronounced Kofi or Coffee. I don't know if it's pronounced Kofi or Coffee. Okay, fine.
K-O-F-I.
But it's just my name, Katie Schenkel. If you want to throw me a few dollars there, I have a few different projects, including Cardboard Kingdom, which pre-orders are available now and is coming out June 5th. Right now, the paperback is like under $9. So if you're wanting to get that kind of locked in, you can save a little money. Besides that,
plus, I guess if you get it on Amazon, you get that pre-order price guarantee, which means if the price drops at any point, you will get, you're guaranteed to have the lowest price.
Yes. So if it goes even lower, then yeah.
Yeah. So you're set.
You're really set. I do, another podcast, called Crystal Clods on L. Collins's Intuit. And I will tell you right now that later on this week, I will actually be doing a regular episode of Intuit with Elle that is rather holiday specific. So if you are a fan of Elle's main podcast, we're doing something for that coming up. I think that's it for me. I can't. Okay. I think that's, I'm very tired.
Yeah.
Chris,
well,
you
can find me on Twitter. At the Chris Haley. You can follow the show on Twitter, and please do, at KICTM Podcast. All of the show notes and everything are at keepitclosetome.com. All of this links for all of this stuff and other just fun things that we put in there. That's all at keepitclosetome.com. You can email the show at keepitclosetomepodcast. Oh, Lord, is that what it is? Look, it's in the show notes now. It's very late. I think it's keepitclosetomepodcast at gmail.com. Put Supergirl Gab in the subject line. Thank you so much to everyone who tweets about the show, retweets when we tweet about it when there's a new episode. Thank you for your patience, obviously, with getting these out while I was sick, and which was a pretty miserable time. I was like crazy sick. But and so thank you for your patience and all that. And just thank you for listening. And for the people that tweet and when you leave the reviews on iTunes, all that kind of stuff, it's great. It's super helpful. I've got a Patreon. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. And you get early episodes of this show, episodes of other shows I do, like Gravity Falls Gossiper, Classics, Keep It Close to Me, which is my main show. I've got to beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Comics Rule Everything Around Me, all the various ridiculous, silly things I do. You can find all that stuff on there. I think that's everything. Thank you guys so much for, letting us do this and, for listening. It's super cool. And it's a lot of fun. And, I guess that's about everything. So, I guess we'll see you next week for more, Supergirl Gab.
Bye, everyone.
Sometimes you do this by everyone, like, so low energy. I'm like, oh, I feel like I've really let you down.
I'm so tired. All right. Oh, I'm so glad I took a nap before we started recording. I think that helped.